Amen. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Getting accustomed to things. I have to tell you that we don't need it, but I kind of miss my little screen. It gave me some a sense of something, but anyhow, I don't know about you, but I feel great. I feel great. And I have to tell you, the devil is a liar. Okay. I was up at camp, and we were having a great time at camp. I was doing the morning devotions with the counselors and the staff, and things were going well. And Thursday night, just came down on me. I had fevers and chills and couldn't even get out of bed. And to the point where when I met with the brethren on Friday, they were asking me, would I be able to speak? But I'm here by the grace of God. I don't take any credit for that. And not only am I here, but things just have been going so well this morning. So well this morning. And you don't know, you don't understand what I'm talking about in the sense that I got up this morning and my wife and I were having breakfast, and Brother Stanley, who we usually listen to on the TV, just covered my whole message that I'm going to give to you this morning. So I'm just reviewing his message, you know. But praise the Lord, it's confirmation. We came in this morning, and due to the fact that people are traveling and some of our young people are away at camp, something happened. We had no coverage for the audio room. But the Lord always provides. And I just want to say a special thank you to our sister Latifah Thomas and our brother Ricky Greenwich, who stepped in and did an excellent job. And God bless them all. And God is good. He's so good. Okay. We are going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read part of a very, very... Oh, one more thing I wanted to mention before I get started, because people need to get their props. Our brother Marcus, he just stood up. He was very quiet. He just introduced himself. But he didn't tell you that he just came from a mission. And where were you, my brother? He was in South Africa, spreading the word of God. Amen. And it's good to see young people out there doing that. Praise the Lord. All right, so keep our brother Marcus in prayer, because he seems to have a desire to do that. So next time, God bless. I hope I didn't put you on the spot. But, okay. All right. Ephesians chapter 6, we're starting from verse 10. We're going to read 10, 11, 13, and the first word of 14. Okay, let's just review it again. We're going to read 10, 11, 13, and the first word of 14. Okay, anybody go past the first word of 14 has to answer to me. Okay. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto yourself the whole armor of God, that you will be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand. Okay? Now, let's open the word of prayer. Blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the power of your word. And we want to thank you that because of what Jesus has done, through him we can claim the victory. So, dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we go through your word, We would ask that you would affect us by your word, that it would make an impression on our lives that is noticeable, that there will be changes and attitudes that we will adjust so that we be more in line with your will. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now, the first word of verse 10 is finally. Okay, now anytime I see those kind of connecting words, finally, I always need to know what went on ahead of finally, because he's getting to finally. So, Ephesians is a wonderful book. If you want to study a book, study Ephesians. If you are a Christian who is looking to deepen your understanding of what God has done for you and what God expects from you, study Ephesians. Paul writes, and I'm just going to run through you, in chapter 1, he tells of all the things that we have gained through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He outlines the believer's position. We're blessed, we're chosen, we're holy, we're adopted into the family, we are redeemed, we are forgiven, we have gained an inheritance, and we are sealed by the Spirit. In chapter 2, he moves from a position to dealing, we have moved from a position of being dead and lost to a position of being found and quickened and having salvation. We are told that we are his workmanship towards good works. We are told that we are now no longer foreigners or strangers. We have become family of God. And then we are told that we are made to fit together to form Christ's church, just like how Legos fit together, how they just go right into place. In chapter 3, we are told that we are part of the church and the family of God. In chapter 4, we are part of the body of Christ. And we are given gifts to help the building of the church and to strengthen one another and our believers. We are given some instructions on how we should live as Christians. In chapter 5, the instructions of how to command our lives continue. Goes into the things of marriage, of how husbands and wives should treat each other, how brothers and sisters should treat each other, how the relationship between Christ and the church. Now, I have to tell you, I'm not quite sure what the writers were thinking, and I would never criticize the Word of God. But to me, verse 10 of chapter 6 should have been verse 1. Because I believe that the first 9 verses belong with chapter 5. Because they're still talking about how you treat each other and masters and how you work. But the point is that the Apostle Paul has outlined a description of the benefits of being a Christian. And he has told us how we should go about it. And then he gets to this point and he says, finally. And we all know this passage because we've read it over and over and over again. Okay, and if you notice, and I don't know if you picked up on it, but I've left out 2 pieces of the part that people like to talk about the most. And I did it on purpose. There's a purpose to it. Okay, Paul is writing a letter, and he is going into his final instructions to the people who are reading the letter. And he says, finally. And then he says something that's very, very important. Actually, probably the most important thing that he says. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, why is that so important? We need to understand that in and of ourselves, we have no power and we have no might. We have none. So anything else or any instructions that he has given in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and anything else he's going to say after this, if we have not invested in trying to tap in and allow the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his might to exercise in our lives, we are working in vain. We are wasting our time. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then he says, put on the whole armor of God. And that term put on really says invest. It means invest. Invest in the whole armor of God. Now, a couple of things I want to talk to you about that. First of all, the word all is of most importance. Okay? Don't put on 85% of the armor. Don't put on 60%. Put on the whole armor of God. And there's a reason why he says this twice in this chapter. Okay? Put on the whole armor of God. Because anything that you don't put on, any part that you forget, allows a target and a vulnerability that the devil is going to find. He's going to find it. So, you know, if you're one of the points that I'm making today is that you need to identify that whole armor of God. And I will get to it, and I will go over it. I left it out for a purpose. But put on the whole armor of God. And then he says something, and this is the point that I want you to understand. So that you can stand. Histeme, that's the Greek word, histeme. It means to stand, to stay, to abide, to face up to continue. Okay? Now, if you look at the parts that I have read, he mentions this word four times. In verse 11, well, I'm counting five because when he says be strong, I'm thinking he's talking about stand. In 11, he says, put on that you be able to stand. In 11. In 13, that you may be able to withstand and do all to stand. And then he starts off 14 with stand. I think Paul wants us to stand. You know, but I think Paul's point is forget about the other things. The whole objective of his letter and his whole objective of his strength, he says, finally, my brethren, I need you to stand. I need you to stand. I need you to become part of the army of God and stand in his power and in his might. Because you can't stand by yourself. But I need you to stand. And he is emphasizing this, and I'm going to emphasize this morning. Paul is, because if we don't stand, all the rest of that stuff is nonsense. It does not matter. We have to stand. Are you standing this morning? You have to ask yourself, when you go out tomorrow morning, will you be standing? Okay, when you go to work and you go to school, will you be standing? Will you be withstanding for God? Stand against the wiles of the devil. That means against. One of the things that it means is that you have to face. You can't stand against something if you're not facing it. It doesn't work. You know, you have to face the wiles of the devil. And the wiles of the devil, for those of you who like detective shows, that's his MO, his modus operandi. How he goes about attacking us. He has all kinds of ways. You know why? Because we have all kinds of different ways to be attacked. Each of us has some different ways. I'm going to ask you a question. To all my people who have confessed that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Okay? And then don't anybody yell it out because I don't want to know. I don't want to know the answer. But you need to know the answer. Do you know where your soft spot is? Do you know where the devil can attack you most easily? Do you know that? You need to find out. Because that's where he's coming. That's where he's coming. Took me a while to learn mine. And if you ask me, I'm not going to tell you because that ain't none of your business. But I know mine, and it allows me to make sure that I have double armor on that part, or triple armor. But you can't cover that up if you don't know it. You need to look at yourself. You know, in Corinthians it says, examine yourself. You need to know yourself. Because the devil. Now I can get into verse 12. And I have to tell you that this part I'm doing is not mine. I stole this from Dr. Stanley about 3 weeks ago. He preached on it, and I said, this is exactly what I need. Because he was talking about the intentions of the devil. What the devil intends to do. Now, we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I don't want to get into explaining all that. That's the devil. That's the world coming after you as you attempt to make your stand. And we don't have to complicate it. It's not complicated. The devil is after us. If you are an unbeliever, the devil has a plan for you. The devil's plan is that, and I'm going to read it for you. 1 Corinthians. Is it 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 4. Verses 3 and 4. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost. And whom the God of this world, who's that? That be the devil. Has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The devil's plan is for you never to hear about the gospel. If you are an unbeliever in this room, and you are an unbeliever on Zoom, we can say praise the Lord, because we're defeating the devil's plan today, because you're going to hear the gospel. But that's his plan. His first plan of action is not to have believers hear the gospel. Because if you don't hear the gospel, you can't be saved. Right? He does that, number one, by stealing the word. You know the parable of the seeds that were sown? There's a part in there where it says the devil came along and stole it. He took it right away from them. He took the word away from them, and they had to wither up and die. He doesn't want the word of God. You know, we're going through a discussion, an argument in several states now about the Ten Commandments and reading the word of God in school and all that. I think I found what side I'm on. I'm on the Christian side. The Christian side says, teach your children the word of God. Don't depend on schools. Don't count on them. Okay? And if you have neighbors, your children, teach them too, if their parents will let you. Okay? The school is not a function of God. It's a function of the world. We need school. I love school. I went to the Board of Education, City of New York. I worked with the Board of Education, City of New York. We need schools. But their function is not to educate people about God. That's the Christian's function. That's why God left us here. That's our job, to preach the gospel. And that's why we have to stand. Amen? And he opposes the gospel. That's what he does. Now, for the unbeliever, For the believer, he has a different plan. Pay attention. He tempts us to sin. Disobedience. First good job he did was in the Garden of Eden. He tempted Eve and Eve fell for it. So if you, that's why I was talking to you about knowing your soft spot, because that's a spot where he's going to tempt you. You know, if I want to catch somebody with something, if I want to trap them or tempt them or test them, I'm not going to test them with something that they don't like. It doesn't make any sense. You know? You have to be careful what your soft spot is. Because he's coming at you. He wants to stunt spiritual growth. He doesn't want you to grow spiritually. Okay? That's why it's important that you tune in on Tuesday nights. That's why it's important that you be here on Sunday morning. I know some of you can't make it, and some of you in Zoom are using the Zoom, but there is an actual benefit to being here physically. Not only because you hear the word, but because you are in communication and exchange with other believers. So we can strengthen one another and build each other up. If Satan had his way, the church would fall asleep. We wouldn't do anything. We'd just like nod off. You know, if you read in Revelations, what one of the complaints that God had with those churches is that they become lukewarm. You know, wishy-washy. I come to church every morning, every Sunday morning, I'm good to go. I give my money every Sunday, I'm good to go. You know, I don't curse, I don't drink, and I'm not out there doing anything. I'm good to go. I'm okay. The devil loves a church like that because he doesn't have to worry about us. We're not going to change anything. The devil hates a church on fire. He hates a church on fire. And that's why I thank God for the young people of this church. Because they have set this church on fire. They've gone out into the streets and they're bringing kids in. Sister Crystal has a basketball program. Sister Claudette is fighting tooth and nail for Awana. You know, Sister Claudette, don't ever think. She's always apologized when she calls me. She says, Brother Grant, I have a request. Don't apologize. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're fighting for our young people. This church needs to be fired up. And he also likes to attack the Bible. He wants to make it not true. But he can't do it. You went to the museum, right? He can't do it. He can't do it. If you go to that museum and you follow the history of the Bible, the Bible is over 2,000 years old. And the reason why the Bible is still the Bible is not because of anything that man has done. It is God's word. And God will not allow his word to be watered down, tampered down, or put down. No matter what they try to do, the Bible for the last 80 years has been the number one bestseller in the world. Do you realize that? The number one bestseller in the world. No matter what the world has tried to put up with it, you can't stop the word of God. That doesn't mean you're not going to try, though. We always have to remember when dealing with the devil that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Therefore, when Peter reminds us that the devil is like a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour, stand. Stand. Don't make any appointments for the devil. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. just a couple of truths back to that. He says, neither give place to the devil. Don't take any account of him. You know, he's one of the devil is a prime example of a bully. He blusters. He throws stuff at you that you think is a storm. And he creates a problem for you, and he rises up. And I got Jesus, man. Go ahead, get behind me. He says, I got no time for you. Get away from me. And I have to tell you, it works. It works. Resist the devil. What is that, brother?
That was the next verse. You looking at my notes?
Okay. James chapter 4. Resist the devil and he will flee. You know why? Because he's a bully. He's a bully. You know, one of the things that I had a young man that kind of was like my protector when I was young. Wasn't any of my brothers. He lived down the block from me. His name was Marcus. And is that your name, Marcus? I never made that connection before. I never made it. But Marcus was, I hope he was a Christian, because his family moved away when I was about 12. But till I was about 6 or 7, Marcus took care of all the little kids on our block. Nobody could mess with us because Marcus lived on the block. And Marcus would tell me, he says, if someone tries to bully you, and I'm not saying, because I'm not violent, he said, punch him in the mouth. He'll probably stop bullying you. Because bullies don't want, really, they don't want to pick on. They don't want to tussle. They want to pick on. They're bullies. They're not fighters. So resist the devil, and he's going to run away from you. So, in saying that, I hope that you don't feel that I'm ignoring verse 12. Okay? I'm letting you know that the devil is here. Wherefore, let's go this over this again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We are not going to do this. Put on the whole armor of God that you be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, all his tricks and everything that he's going to throw at you. Wherefore, take unto you again the whole armor, same term from verse 11 to verse 13, the whole armor, the 100% armor of God, that you be able to withstand, to stand up against, to fight off the evil day. Which day is that? That's every day until the Lord comes. It's an evil day. And if you don't believe me, watch the news. But stand. Withstand the day. And having done all, stand. And then he says, stand therefore. And then he lists the parts of the whole armor of God. Now there have been so many where is this thing? There have been so many sermons on the armor of the Lord. So many. But I'm going to run through them real quickly. Because one of the things that we don't think about with the armor, at least I don't think we do, or maybe it's just me and I never thought about it, is it says put on the whole armor of God. And once you put it on, what do you do with it? Stand. Okay? But what do you do with truth? Having your loins girt about you with truth.
What do you do with that truth?
Two things you got to do with truth. One is you got to believe it. The word of God is true. Trust the word of God. Second thing is you have to use it. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. Out in your life, out in your words, out in your action. Speak the truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. What do you do with that breastplate of righteousness? You treasure it. Your righteousness has been purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you hold on to it and it's there and you keep it close to your chest. But what do? You do righteous. You live righteous. People are watching us. I want to tell you and I want to let you know that the biggest gospel endeavor is the behavior of individual saints in everyday life. Forget about the crusades with the 5,000 people and all that. You are the gospel of Jesus Christ embodied. And you need to live righteously so that those who see you know that you are a child of God. That's what you do with your righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You've been saved. You have been saved. Your feet are, you are now, you know how the world likes to say, yeah, you stepped in it now? Well, we've stepped into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're standing in it. And there's nothing that the devil can do about that except shake his head. He's going to try and try and try. And you notice it says the preparation of the gospel of what? Of peace. Of peace. Because what the gospel does is it makes peace between sinner and God. That's the whole object of the gospel. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, you are at war with God. And you need to make peace. That's what the gospel does. It makes peace. It allows you to have peace with God. Those of us who are standing at peace with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord, oh Lord, is good. Above all, take the shield of faith. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Faith. Keep the faith. Be convinced. One of the devotions that I did on last week was my favorite verse. You know what my favorite verse is? I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I am convinced. I am persuaded. So if I'm convinced and I'm persuaded, I'm not going to lose faith. Something bad is going to happen to me. I'm not going to lose faith. Something bad is going to happen to my family. I'm not going to lose faith. Something bad is going to happen to my job. I'm not going to lose faith. Because all things work together for good to them that love God. And I call by his name. You have to trust. Keep the faith. I can't even say my second most favorite verse because I always get the order mixed up. But it's that verse that says, I am convinced that neither height nor depth or principle or width or whatever it is, nothing in this world can separate me from the love of God. One day I want to sit down and try and memorize it, but it's important that I keep the faith and I believe it. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. and take the helmet of salvation. Do you believe you're saved? Do you believe you're saved? You sure?
I am.
You believe you're saved? Where do you believe? Both. Right? You're convinced and then you believe. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And they like to talk about this, only the offensive weapon. It's the only offensive part of the whole armor of God. It's true. What do we fight with? We fight with the Word of God. Jesus gave the example. It is written. It is written. But you can't fight with an unfamiliar weapon. Okay? One of the things that Dr. Stanley was talking about this morning was that when a soldier goes in the army, one of the things that they teach him, if you ever watch Forrest Gump, he learns how to take his rifle, put it back together, and puts it on it blindfolded. And he learns his weapon. How well do you know your weapon? How well do you know your swords? Work on it, my brothers and sisters. The Word of God. And last of all, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, why do you have to pray? Why do we have to pray? We got on the armor. We're all covered up. Why do we have to pray? It's like plugging in your phone. Your phone goes dead. If it ain't got no power, your phone is no good to you. So every day you got to plug it in and power up. It tells us that God believes in us. So, I believe that the Apostle Paul in this passage is giving us a message. He is telling us to, say it with me now, stand. Now, you know, if you look at this equation, we are the only variables in the equation, if you know what that means. We're the only variables. The devil is always going to be here until Christ comes. He's not going anyplace. The armor of God is always available to us because God is eternal. We're the only ones that are variable. Sometimes we stand, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we turn, sometimes we fall. But I have to tell you, the Apostle Paul is saying to us, stand. Stand. And I know because I got bruises on my knees. We fall, don't we? We fall. John, first John, if we are faithful and just to, if we repent of our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which at that point stands us up again. Okay? Now, please, I'm not telling you to do something that's easy. If it was easy, like my mother was saying, if it was easy, anybody could do it. But it's easier if you rely on the power and the might of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're in this room, or you're on Zoom, I have to tell you that, as I said before, this morning, we have defeated the devil. Because God says, I love you. I sent my son to die for you. I am offering you the gift of eternal life. I am offering you an opportunity to come to me and accept the gift that I am giving you. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel of Jesus Christ simply says to an unbeliever, the unbeliever says, I recognize that I need to be saved. Why? Because you're a sinner. Not because of any of the sins that you have committed, because you were born a sinner like everybody else in this room. But you need to be saved. And the only way you can be saved is by asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And you know what? The moment you ask him to do that, he's in. Before you finish the last word, he's there if you meant it. He's in your heart. And he's forgiven you of your sins. And you are saved. And then you can move on to a life where you can begin to stand for Jesus. So, as I close, I almost forgot. We good? Up there? Okay. I'm going to ask, if you would like to know more about this salvation thing, I'm not going to make an altar call today, but I'm going to be around here until around 2 o'clock this afternoon. And if you want to know about Jesus and how you can be saved, find me. I don't care what I'm doing. I'll put that down, and I will sit down with you, and we'll talk about how Jesus can change your life. If you are on Zoom or on telephone, and you know that you need to know Jesus, whoever got you onto that broadcast, speak to them, because God put them in your lives so you can learn about Jesus. Now, I've asked, Brother Lloyd, please, forgive me. I'm going to ask your patience. I've asked the audio visual to play a song that's been running through my mind while for the last 2 or 3 weeks while I was preparing this message. It's one of my favorite songs. They're going to play it for you. I hope you enjoy it. And then, Brother Lloyd, at the end of the song, I'll turn it over to you. Thank you. You've been a wonderful audience as usual, and may the Lord bless you.